Morning, today's daf and chulin kuf lamed hey. We're finishing today the 10th parak of the Masechta. God willing, we're going to start the 11th parak of the Masechta in just a little bit from now. We are finishing up the discussion of the Gemara regarding Zor L'Chai V'Keva. Matanos, gifts that come from every animal that was shechted, every chulin animal that was shechted, that need to go to the Kohen. And then the next parak, the 11th parak of the Masechta, talks about the next distribution that's mentioned in that very next parsha, in Shoftim, which is the shearings of the animal, the fleece of the animal. The first fleece is going to be going to the Kohen. This is referred to as Reishis Hagez. We're going to get to that momentarily, but in the meantime, let's finish up over here our parak. We are in the middle of a discussion in the Gemara regarding Safek, and we just finished the Gemara's discussion regarding Safek Mamonos versus Safek Isser, a point that we know and that we made time and again throughout Shas, but here's a great opportunity to make it, and that's the following. If, let's say, the Mishnah's scenario is that you have somebody who converts and he had a cow and the cow was shechted at some point during the conversion. He just simply does not know the timeline. He does not know whether or not the conversion occurred before or after the animal was shechted. And halachically, of course, that's going to make a tremendous difference. If the animal was shechted before he converted, so that means that was shechitas agoy, or the owner of the animal was a goy at the time of the shechita, and that, of course, means that animal is not going to be obligated in matanos. You do not need to give Zor L'Chai V'Keva of this animal to a Kohen. If, on the other hand, the animal was shechted after he converted, so then the animal belonged to a Jew at the time, and that would be Chayv in Zor L'Chai V'Keva. And so the question on the table is, what if we don't know? And we are in a state of Safek. So the answer is the Mishnah, Hamotzi Mechaver Al Averaya. So now this is strictly a monetary issue. Zor L'Chai V'Keva do not have Kedusha, as we've said already repeatedly throughout this parak. And so therefore there is no requirement to give these matanos over to the Kohen, because now that we're in a state of Suffolk and it's a monetary obligation, so the determinant is going to be ownership. Ownership is 10/10 of the law in Yiddishkeit. Now, if there's an Isser component to it, so then that's going to make it different. If there was a Kedusha component, an Isser component, so then we would say Suffolk Isser Doraisa, L'chumra. So then we would, of course, be machmir, we would be stringent. But over here, as it relates to the matanos, it's strictly mamonos, and there's no iser, and so therefore it'd be okay. We saw at the end of yesterday, on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, as we turn to the top of Kuf Lamed Daled Amud Beis, so we saw a number of scenarios in which distinctions are made between whether it's just mamonos or whether it's iser. If it's mamonos, so we're going to say Amotzi Mechaver Ol Averaya. If it's iser, so then we're going to be Safek Daraisa L'chumra. We are now on the very top of Kuf Lamed Daled Beis, picking up where we left off yesterday. Levi Zara B'Kisha. So Levi planted in the town of Kisha. Okay, ask me where it is, but I will not have an answer. Rashi just simply says it's the name of a location. So Levi Zara B'Kisha V'lohavu Aniyam L'mishka Leket. Now, there was Leket. There was leftover stalks on the field. And any leftover stalks on the field, one or two that went uncollected, one and two in one particular patch, is going to be going to the Aniyam. It's one of the Matnos Aniyam. The problem is that in the town that he lived in, there was simply no Aniyam. So do you leave the Leket if there's no one there to pick it up? Simple question, basic question. So also the comment to Rav Sheshes, so he goes to Rav Sheshes, Amar Leila Aniva Lagir, Tazov Asam V'lolo Orvim V'lolo Leifim. So Rav Sheshes gives the very definitive answer. The Torah wants the Leket to go to the Aniyam and only to the Aniyam. If what's going to happen if you leave the Leket and it's only going to be picked up by ravens or other animals, is that the Torah does not want that. The Torah wants it specifically left over for the Aniyam. So basically his instructions to Levi is, you go pick it up now. Now the Meisve, Ein Mivin Truma, Lo Migoren Le'ir, V'lo Mimidba Le'yishuv, V'im Ein Sham Kohen, Socher Paru Mivia, Mimnei Hefse Truma. So the Gemara quotes now the following. You, as a person who has a granary, you do not have the responsibility to go through the tircha and bring the truma from one location to another location in order to arrive to a Kohen. What it's the Kohen's responsibility for transportation and to either get to the field or to have the truma being delivered to him. But it's not your responsibility. Now, what if there's no Kohen? So what you're going to do is you're going to be mafresh and you're going to set it aside and when the Kohen gets there, so the Kohen's going to get there. So when it comes to our freshest truma, so you have the responsibility to set it aside, even though there currently is no Kohen. What's the difference between the Kohen and the Ani? Now, the difference is obvious, and the Gemara spells it out. So Shani Truma de Tavla, Vlo Sayyid Lama Fishle. So the Gemara says, yeah, the difference is obvious. When it comes to Truma, so we know that the Hafreshes Truma is obviously a distribution given to the Kohen, but it serves you, the owner, as well. Because without you being Mafish Truma, so the untithed produce is called Tevel. And there's an Isser to eat Tevel. Misa B'dei Shamayim is the owner that comes along with the consumption of Tevel. So there, you're just simply in a position where you have to be Mafish. Now that you have to be Mafish, now what? Now what you'll do is you'll put it aside, and if a Kohen comes along and gets it, fine. Otherwise, whatever. But when it comes to the leket, so you could theoretically, you could harvest an entire field and not have to leave leket. So the Gemara says, okay, but what about the matanos? Now, matanos, there's no concept of tevel. Now, there was a line earlier in the parak that described that, according to at least one viewpoint, so the animal is in a state of tevel until you take off the matanos. But this is not a position that's accepted la halacha. The accepted position is that by matanos, there's no idea, there's no concept of tevel. And the Gemara says, and now with that in mind, so let's consider. So tevel right now is analogous to leket, in that there's no, you don't have to take off matanos in order for you to be able to eat the balance of the animal. And meanwhile, the Braisa writes, and the Gemara quotes, and avitanya makum shanagu limlog ba'galim, so lo yafshit es hazroa. If the minhag was to do what's called maliga. Maliga is to pour boiling water over the animal. It allows for the hair to be removed. And what it ends up doing is it ends up softening the skin. So if the minhag is to do maliga on the calves, so lo yafshit es hazroa, lahafshit es harosh. I'm sorry, one should not remove it, one should not flay the leg. If you're going to be doing it in order to over the head, so you shouldn't remove the jaw. So the Gemara says, now if there's no kohen that's there, and so that means to say that we've done maliga and we are now looking to give the matanos over to a kohen, but there's no kohen that's around. So what you're going to do is malnos amadamim. You simply transfer it over to some sort of value, in terms of some sort of cash value, and you can eat it, but in other words, don't let it just sit around, because otherwise it's going to spoil, and that would represent hefsed lekohen. So the Gemara says, okay, so what do we have over here? So we have now that by leket, we said that if there are no anim around, so then you don't have to leave it out in the field, but you can just simply collect it. By truma, you have to separate it, but by truma, we have a concept of tevel, and now we're somewhere in the middle, meaning now we're by matanos. Matanos, there's no concept of tevel, but meanwhile, the instructions are, is that even if there's no coin around, you should still take off the matanos. Okay, and so how does that work? So the Gemara says, Shani matanos kahuna, didn't see nixiv bay. So, okay, so the Gemara says, matanos are different, because there's instruction of giving. Meaning the owner of the animal is instructed by the Torah to give it to the Kohen. So there, even though there's no concept of Tevel, but there's a concept of Nesina. By Leket, we don't have that. By Leket, it's just simply Tazov. You leave it for the Anim, but there's no concept of Nesina. So So the Gemara says, the answer is so good, we can actually use this answer back and answer the same answer for Truma. Meaning, even though the answer we gave previously for Truma is also a good answer, in that it is going to be Tevel if I don't take off Truma, but on top of that, by Truma, there's also a mitzvah of Nesina. Ve'alatazov yisera lamali. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we have the word Tazov by Leket, but we don't have it once, we have it twice. See Rashi for a description of the two times that Tazov is mentioned regarding Leket. Why do I need both mentions? Lichid, the Tanya, the Gemara quotes it for the following brisa, Amavkid is kamo. So let's say you do the following. Let's say you declare your field to be hefker. Now, if you declare your field to be hefker, so that means that ownerless produce is not chayv and shumas amaitros. Fine. The only produce that's chayv and shumas amaitros is one which is owned by the balabais. But once he declares it hefker, so now everyone can take it. In fact, during the Shemitah year where the Torah declares all your produce to be hefker, so there's no chayv of shumas amaitros. Fine. So you declare your field to be Trumas Amaisos. Now you have just removed the obligation you declared your produce to be Hefker. You have removed the obligation of Trumas Amaisos. And then next morning you wake up really early in the morning. And what do? You go out to your field and you collect the produce on your field. Now what it sounds like you have done is some sort of chicanery. It sounds like you've you've done all this, it's just simply a ruse to go ahead and get around the obligation of Trumas HaMaisros. Ulashachar hishkim u'bitzro. And the next morning you get up there and you start harvesting your field. So chayav b'per davolos v'sheicho v'peya u'patrim en HaMaisros. So as far as the obligations of Trumas HaMaisros, so you're still going to be exempt. Even though what you did is questionable, but nevertheless you're going to be exempt from Trumas HaMaisros because then nechinami. The produce is hefker. However, all the matnos aniyim, you're still going to have to give. Even though it's hefker. Hefker means, of course, that it belongs to nobody. And so produce that belongs to nobody, in principle, is going to be exempt from not only Trumas HaMaisros, but the matnos aniyim as well. But over here, the Torah says the word tazov, it says it twice. So that means to say that even if you declared it hefker, and then you recollected it and retook ownership of it, you're still going to have to give matnas aniyim a second time. That's what we learn out from the second Tazov. Gemara tells the following story. So a sack of money was left in the base medrash, kadim Rabbi Ami v'zaka behen. So, and Rabbi Ami went ahead and he collected the money for himself, meaning finders keepers. And so he took the money. And the Gemara says, well, that's very strange. And the Gemara immediately wants to know the how did he do that? So v'haksiv v'nasan v'lo sheyitol me'atzmo. So the Gemara says over here we know that there should have been a nesina, meaning what he should have done with the money is give it to the poor, and meanwhile collect it for himself. So the Gemara says Rabbi Ami nami la'niyam zachamem. So the first answer of the Gemara, very straightforward, is that's exactly what he did. He took the money and he gave it to the aniyim, meaning he just assumed the position of being gabai tzedakah, and he took it for the aniyim. Ibai Sam, the Gemara gives another suggestion, which is adam chashav shani. Well, he's an adam chashav, and that makes it different, and that allows him to collect the money. How does that work? The Tanya, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. V'akor nagadol me'achav. So the Torah, when describing, in the beginning of Parshas Amor, the requirement of the Kohen Gadol, so the Torah says, HaKohen HaGadol Me'echav. Now, you could read the Pasuk one of two ways. One way to read the Pasuk is that he's just simply above his brothers. But, or the other way to read the Pasuk is, HaKohen HaGadol Me'echav. From his brother, he becomes the Kohen Gadol. What does that mean? She'igadol Me'echav B'noi V'chachma V'osher. So, the first way the Gemara darshan's the Pasuk is the first way I read the Pasuk, which is that he's just simply greater. He's greater in appearance, in wisdom, in wealth. Achem Omrim. Now, another way to read the pasuk, which is the second opinion of the Braisa, Minayin Sheim Ein Lo She'echav HaKohanim Megadlen Oso. So let's say that for the most part, he seems qualified to fit the bill to be the Kohen Gadol. It's just right now, he doesn't have financial means. Okay, so it now becomes incumbent upon the other Kohanim to actually provide him the means so that now he'll have wealth. Tam Lamar VaKohen HaGadol Me'echav Gadleu Me'shalachav. So what you should do is you should actually put him up, actually give him money so that he has the means in which he'll be having not only the chachma and the noi, but also have the osher as well. So so Rabbi Ami, who was an Adam Chashuv, so he figured that, it's interesting because obviously he's not serving as Kohen Gadol, but the Gemara's idea is that Kohen Gadol basically is synonymous with Rosh Yeshiva. Meaning that Rabbi Ami was an Adam Chashav, he was the head of the yeshiva, and as a result of that, so if there was an opportunity for him to come into money, so in Achinami, so he should be in that position following the viewpoint of the Acherim. Okay. We start with the last Mishnah of the Perek, Ezu Azroa, so, and this last Mishnah over here now goes through the details. Very straightforward, meaning up until now, we've been discussing some of the most basic issues regarding Zerua L'Chayav Keva since the beginning of the Perek. And now, after having gone through the basic issues of which animals does it apply to, does it apply to carbon, it doesn't, what do we do in cases of Safek, what do we do with partnership? So all the various issues of Zerua L'Chayav Keva have been addressed. And now, the Mishnah over here, the last Mishnah, just talks about now specifically and anatomically which parts of the animal are now destined to go to the Kohen. So Ezu Zroa, so what exactly is a Zroa? So as I mentioned already numerous times, it's the front right leg of the animal. Min haperek shel arkuva ad kaf shel yad. V'hu shel nazir. So uchenegdo beregel shok. The Mishnah identifies, it's from the arkuva. Now the arkuva is the knee. So the arkuva is the knee. Now you remember in an animal there really are two knees. There are two, as opposed to our legs, which basically have one knee, meaning our foot that's resting is also on a joint, but we don't really refer to it as a knee, which is understandable. It's flat to the ground. Mashenkin, when it comes to an animal, so the animal kind of walks on its toes, and the way that anatomically its knees look, so it looks as if there are two knees. So, all right. Right. Correct. Correct. So, but the agreed. So the as far as the Mishnah is concerned, so our kuva. So we're talking now about from the joint, from the more the, from the higher joint. So and all the way to the bottom of the foot. So this is a zero that's given to the Kohen. The Mishnah and the Mishnah says v'hu shel nazir, meaning complementarily. As we look at the Nazir and the Zroa Bishela, the cooked foreleg, which actually we talked about earlier. If you remember, if you recall back in the seventh parak of the Masechta, so we talked about the cooked foreleg because if you remember, we were talking about the ratio of the foreleg to the rest of the animal vis-a-vis Bittel, right? It was a ratio of 1 to 60 or maybe 1 to 100. And and what are we assessing? Are we assessing the meat versus the meat or the meat and the bones versus the meat and the bones? Okay, that takes us back to the seventh parak of the Masechta. In the meantime, however, the zroa that's of the animal that's given to the Kohen is the same zroa of the nazir that's cooked in the pot. Uchenegda b'regel shok. And also, another thing that runs parallel to it is by karban shlamim. So by karban shlamim, we know that the chaz v'shok, the chest and the shok, is given to the Kohen. When we're talking about the shok, we're talking about the back leg, and it is the same, it's from the joint and below, as the front leg is given from the zroa. Rav Yehuda Omer Shok min haperek shel akuva at sovach shel regel. And as far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, it's from the midpoint of the bone into the bottom when it comes to the shok. Ezu lechi. Okay, so now we describe the parameters of the zroa, and now we talk about the parameters of the lechi. Min haperek shel lechi at pika shel gageres. So it is from the lechi. The lechi is the cheek, all the way to the pika shel gageres, until the throat of the animal. So it's basically the lower jaw of the animal. Okay. The Mishnah doesn't go through the keva with the basic understanding that we all know what the keva is, meaning the keva is the fourth stomach of the animal, doesn't really need parameters, and so the zro, which is a leg, so you got to know when the leg begins, when the leg ends, and the same thing is true regarding the lechi. We're talking about the lower jaw, so anatomically it's kind of hard to figure out exactly where it begins and where it ends. So that's why the Mishnah focused on those two. Keva doesn't really need parameters. Tanur Rabbanan, we start with the Gemara, Azroa says Zeroa Yamin. So the Torah says Hazeroa, the leg. So I've been continuously saying it's the right leg, and only because that's correct. But how do we know that it's the right leg? So Ata Omer says Zeroa Yamin, Oeno Ela Zeroa Small. So the question is obvious. How do I know that? So Tamil Omer Hazeroa. So, oh yeah, the Torah says Hazroa. Of course it's referring to the right front leg, because the Torah says Hazroa. Okay, good. Good. How did that work? So my Talmud, that's the Gemara's very next question. So Kedama Rava, HaYerech, HaMiyumene Shebiyerech, HaChanami Hazroa, HaMiyuman Shebizroa. So it's the hay. The hay is the definitive article. It tells us that we're talking about the leg. Just like earlier when we talked about the Gidonashi, we said that it is HaYerech, the sciatic that runs along the thigh. So we mentioned earlier that that's the right thigh. So over here, when we're talking about Hazroa with the definitive article, you know, of course, it's the right's dominant. V'halechayim l'may asa. So the Torah says, yeah, but it says halechayayim. Now, halechayayim is the cheeks. Now, the cheeks, what does that mean? Clearly, the Torah is making reference to both of them. So la'asi la'havi tzemer shebroshin kvasim v'seir shebezakan tiyashim. So, okay, so the Gemara says, so what we're darshing from the hay over there is that in addition to both cheeks, meaning we're not making any distinction between right versus left, but on top of that also, tzemer shebrosh kvasim, on the sheep, so there's going to be fleece on the head of the sheep, on the lower jaw, so that comes along, that also goes to the Kohen, and seir shebezakan tiyashim. And when you're giving the lechi of the goat, so together with that, all that hair that is together with the jaw, so that also goes to the Kohen as well. Okay. V'hakeva. Good. So we have the hay darshan for the leg to teach us it's the right, not the left. We have the hay by the by the lachi to teach us that in addition to the jaw, also the hair that comes along with it. If it's sheep, then the wool. If it's a goat, it's the hair. Hakeva. Okay, so what is that coming to include? All right, what's coming in conjunction with the stomach? So lamai asala havi chelav shalgabe hakeva v'chalav shebesoch hakeva. Ah, so there are things that come along in conjunction with the stomach, and that's going to be number one, the chelav that's on the stomach. Right, the stomach has chelav on top of it. Now, interesting. Of course, the kohen, of course, is not allowed to eat it. This chelav is chelav shal iser, but nevertheless. What you do with that chalev, however, even though you can't eat it, but you could use it for illumination. In other words, you're allowed to get hana from chalev. So that's going to be part of the matanos, and also the chalev akar shebesocha, and also the congealed milk inside of the stomach. The rennet, we talked about that at length in the eighth parak of our masechta, where we talk about using the rennet in order to make cheese. Whether that's okay, it's not okay. So okay, good. So that's the... That is also going to be headed in the direction of the Kohen.
Rabbi Shogun, why do you need the hay for the lechi? As opposed, in other words, why can't you say hay means it's the right jaw?
Right. So why the Gemara does not even entertain that? So I don't know. It's a fair question. The assumption, of course, is that it's both jaws. We saw that earlier in the parak as well. Okay, Danny, it's a good question. I don't know. So. Now the Gemara says, now in general there was a minhag amongst the Kohanim, which is that when they were given the keva, so they would, what they would do is that they would not take either the chalav or the chalav. Not clear exactly what they would return, but in other words, they would take the stomach, but they would give back either the chalav or the chalav. But that they were doing so only because of ayin yafeh. They were doing that as an act of generosity. Now, time of the nagu, halo nagu didehu, and the diuk is very simple, meaning that was an act of generosity. May ikar hadin. So, what you're responsible to give to the kohen is the keva, together with the chalav and the chalav. Okay, dorshe chamur tayu omrim. Okay, now I mentioned this in the beginning of the parak. Every animal that you shech, so you have to give zola chayv keva. The question is obvious. Why? Now, you know me at this point in time. Why is the most difficult question, right? The what's and the where's and the how's. Right, those are the easier questions to answer, but in terms of the whys are always difficult. Why specifically Zor L'chai V'keva? So over here, we don't need any Sifrei, we don't need the Sefer Chinuch, we don't need the Torah Sanistar, meaning the Gemara is actually going to speak to the idea of why specifically these parts of the animal. So, the Darshei Chamuras Hayu Omrim. So Dershe Chamur is an expression the Gemara uses often to describe people who are there to reveal some of the secrets of Torah. So the Soda Satorah. So it's not that often. It's a rarity. But the Gemara sometimes gives up some of the Soda Satorah. So they would say that Hayu Omrim Azroa Keneged Ayad. So the Zroa is Keneged, it corresponds to the hand. Which hand are we talking about? So we're talking about Pinchas. When Pinchas saw the act that was performed, the immodest act that was performed by Cosby and Zimri, so he went to action. And so what did he do? So he took a spear in his hand. V'cheinu omer v'kach romach biyado. So that's the yad. And by the way, that's why we assume it's also the right one. And v'lechayim keneged tefila. Danny, this may be an answer to your question. And the lechayim is a reference to tefila. V'cheinu omer v'yamod pinchas v'yipalel. Now in the actual Torah itself, so the Torah doesn't talk about the tefila of Pinchas. But if you look in Sefer Tehillim, which the Gemara here is quoting, so you see clearly that Pinchas not only was ready to take action by taking a spear into his hand, but also tefillah as well. The pasuk in Tehillim says it beferish. So that's why it is also the lechi, which is obviously that which produces a tefillah. Kuba kemashma'a. V'cheina omer v'esisha el kuba sa. And where did he spear the woman? He speared the woman in the stomach. And so therefore, it's the stomach of the animal. So v'tana maisi lamehacha. So, and another Tana learns it from the following: Shoki Yamin Ein Liela Shoki Yamin, Zroa Mukdash Minayin, Tamalamer Truma Zroa Chula Minayin, Tamalamer Titnu. So the another Brisa learns it from the following: It says regarding the Shok of a Shlamin that's given to the Kohen Shok Hayamin. So that's very clear. It's the right thigh. So that is only now telling me that it's the Shok Hayamin. How do I know the Zroa of Karbana, specifically that of the Nazir? So Tamalamer Trumas Zroa. So Trumas Zroa. So what we're doing is we're connecting the Zroa to the Shok. Just like the Shok is the Yamin, so is the Zroa. Chulaminayin, what about the zroa of the non-consecrated animal? Meaning manus karuna. Tamar lomer titnu. Okay, so based on these various drashas, so it gets us to the idea that it's the right hand, the right arm as opposed to the left one. Okay, finishing up the perek ezu lechim and a perek shalechi v'ad pika shal gargeres v'ad tanya. The Gemara here quotes another brisa. Note la ubeis shchita imam. So you're going to take it together with the beis shchita. Now this gives the indication. Beis shchita imam. So we are going further down than what was previously suggested. Previously we suggested that we go basically up to the throat, but not beyond that. Over here, it sounds like we're going to go somewhere into the trachea in terms of the lower portion of the jaw. So, lo kasha, rabbanan, rabbi chanim, and antignos. So the Gemara says, okay. But over here, in terms of explaining the discrepancy between the Mishnah versus the Braisa, so over there, we could just simply flex with the parameters of Shechita. What exactly are the parameters of Shechita? So this goes back and takes us back well earlier in the Masechta. If I remember correctly, this goes back to the second perek. But there we talked about the parameters of where to shecht. We know you have to shecht through the two simanim of the trachea and the esophagus. And we discussed extensively exactly the parameters of the trachea. And so the Gemara says that if I go above the parameters, so then that is a shechita psula, and that is what's called hagrama. Hagrama is when you go too high in the trachea and thereby not shechting within the simanim. What exactly does that mean, too high? So if you recall, that was a machlokas that we had earlier in the Masechta. So detanya magrimus psula. So if I magrim, so it's pasul, that means that I went above the parameter. Hey, Rabbi Chanin ben Tignos, I'm magrim, sheik shera. And Rabbi Chanin ben Tignos says that magrimus is going to be kasher. Now, what he's not saying is that hagrama is not an issue. Of course, he holds that Hagrama is one of the psule hashchita. What he's just simply saying is that what you just described is too high. Rabbi Chanin ben Tignos says, I don't think that's too high. Sheik shera. And so basically now we see that there's a machlokas between the Tanaim, exactly where the parameters of shchita are. And so therefore the discrepancy that we saw earlier in terms of what is the lechaim and how far down the neck do I go, and I have a discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa, so it just simply corresponds to the various opinions of where is a makam hashchita. The Gemara Ibaisim, the Gemara gives another suggestion, Havaha Rabbanan, my ima, ima de behema. Or another way to explain it very simply is that the Braisa and the Mishnah are not going along the machlokus of the Chachamim and Rabbi Chanin ben Tignos, but rather they're just giving various ways of describing the same point. It says that we take the lechi together with the animal, and what remains is the beis hashchita. And the so it's just simply different reference points to describe the same area. Hajjal HaChazor V'Lachayim, that is the end of the 10th parak of the Masechta. And Emir Tzashem, now we begin the 11th parak of the Masechta, so Reishis Hages. So Reishis Hages really starts with the same Parsha. We're back in Parsha Shoftim, and we are giving a description in the Torah regarding the matanos given to the Kohen. So first, in Pasuk Gimel, I'm just going to use this for the Pesukim. So first in Pasuk Gimel, so it described the Zor L'chai V'keva. And then we move along in one more pasuk in pasuk Dalet, and the pasuk reads as follows: Reishis digancha tiroshcha vitzarecha v'reishis geiz sonecha titein lo. So the first shearings of the sheep are going to be going to the Kohen. So there is this idea now that in addition to the other distributions, we're really focusing on the previous perek, the distributions of matanos Zor L'chai V'keva, and our perek is going to be the fleece that we're shearing, that are shorn off of a sheep. And then the last parak of the Masechta, a lot of fun, the last parak is going to be dealing with the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen, sending away the mother bird. But right now, as we start our parak, so the basic halacha is that you must give the fleece over to the Kohen. But after that, the Torah does not give any details whatsoever, how much fleece, from how many animals. So, right, is this only by chulin? Is it by hektesh? So some of the most basic issues are now going to be discussed in the Torah Shabbal Peh, specifically the 11th parak of Chulin. The Mishnah starts. Reishis Hages Noag Baaretz V'Chutz Laaretz, that applies both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Bifnei Abayis V'Shlo Bifnei Abayis, whether there is a base of Mikdash or whether there is not. B'Chulin Avolom B'Mukdashim. It only applies to non-consecrated animals, but not to consecrated animals. Chomer B'Zor L'Chaim V'Keva Mereishis Hages. And so now what the Mishnah is going to do is its usual, and that is comparison. meaning now we are learning two types of Matnas Kahuna back to back. The previous parak is Zor Lachai V'Keva. Our parak is Reishis Hagez. And so now the contrast. And the contrast goes as follows. There are certain stringencies that apply to Zor Lachai V'Keva that you don't have by Reishis Hagez. She has Zor Lachai V'Keva, no Agim B'Bakar V'Tzon. So Zor Lachai V'Keva applies to all domesticated animals. Not to Chayas, as we discussed in the previous parak, but to all domesticated animals. Bakar V'Tzon. B'meruba uvemuat. It doesn't matter whether you're shechting one animal, two animals, or 10 animals. Each one of them has a requirement of giving the Zor Lachai V'Keva to the Kohen. So one point of contrast is that this is not like Reishis Hagez, where you only give from sheep, but you don't give from cow, you don't give from goat. They don't have wool. Now they do have hair, and there is a possibility to make some sort of material from the hair. The sackcloth is made from the goat, from the hair of the goat. But in other words, it's not wool, it's not gez, it's not fleece, and so therefore there's no requirement other than sheep. And on top of that, there's another restriction or constriction regarding the mitzvah of Reishis Hagez. If I'm shearing one sheep, there's no requirement of Reishis Hagez. If I'm shearing multiple sheep, so then there is a requirement. Now, we say multiple sheep, how much do we mean? V'kama hu meruba. Good, that's the next question in the Mishnah. Beishame says two. Meaning, as long as it's more than one, as long as it's a plural, so then there's a requirement. He has a pasuk in Yeshayahu that describes that. La'asid, in the future, when seemingly b'zman ha-Mashiach, so a person is, every person is going to have eglas bakar and shtei tzon. And they're going to have two sheep. So you see that the base minimum of what is considered significant numbers of sheep is going to be two. Beisila omrim chamesh shenemar chamesh tzon asuyos. And Beisham is of the opinion, Beisil is of the opinion that it is five sheep. The pasuk in Shmuel, giving a description of Avigail preparing a meal for the army of David. So there it says, Chamesh tzon asuyos, that she prepared for five sheep. And so therefore five becomes a significant number. Meaning we know it's meruba. We know that it has to be more than one. And then what does more than one mean? Machlok between Beisham and Beisila. So Beisila's position is five. Rabbi Dosman Horkanas Omer Chamesh Rechelus Gozuzos Mana Mana Upras. Chayav is Bereshis, I guess. Now, even though we have five sheep, there's going to be another way also to give quantity to the shear. According to Rabbi Dosman Horkanas, from the five sheep, you need a total of Mana Mana Upras. Okay, how much that translates into in terms of weights? It's a weight measurement. So I'm not really sure. But in other words, but basically it is a, there is a bare minimum of wool that I need to be able to be shorn from all these animals. The Chachamim Omrim, Chamesh Rechelus, goes to those Kol Shehin. Now the Chachamim say, nah, it's a Kol Shehu. Now what does that mean, Kol Shehu? So the Gemara is going to discuss. We'll wait till the Gemara. The Kamah Nosen Lo. That's the total amount of wool that needs to be shorn off the animal in order to be given to the Kohen. In order so that there be a mitzvah of Nesina to the Kohen. How much is the actual Nesina itself? So, Mishkal Chamesh Lam B'Yehuda, Shehin Esos Lam B'Galo. So the Mishnah tells us that it's going to be the weight of five selahs in Yehuda, which is equivalent to the weights of 10 selahim in Galo. So in Yehuda and Galo, they obviously use different currencies. So one coin in Yehuda was equivalent to, in weight, two coins in the Galo. Okay, so the so this is how much you're going to actually give to the Kohen. Mulubam velo tsoi. Now, when you're giving this much weight to the Kohen of wool, so the wool has to be white wool, clean wool, and the weight can not also be made up of some foreign material, some dirt that comes along with the wool. The wool has to be clean. Kedei la'asos mimenu begekatan. Significance of this shear is that it is a sheer chashav. It's significant because you can make with it a beged katan, a small garment. Shenema titein lo sheyebo kidei matana. Right? It has to be something of significance. Right? You offer a gift to somebody and you give him something, right? You go over for Shabbos and you hand over instead of a dessert platter, you give a single jelly bean. So it's funny. So it's funny because it's ridiculous because that's not a matana. A matana is something significant. It's something where it is a significant gift. So over here, the amount of fleece that you're going to be giving to the Kohen has to be kedei matana, enough to make a beged katan. Lo hispik litna lo ashit siva pater, livna velo siva chayev. Mishnah has a really interesting halacha. Let's say that before giving it to the Kohen, you decide that you're going to dye it first. So by dyeing it a different color, so no, you're no longer obligated to give it to the Kohen. The obvious question, why not? In other words, just because you colored it, now you don't have to give it to him. So Danny, you and Rashi are of the same. So Rashi says that this is a function of shinui, meaning because when you color it now, so that means that you are creating a shinui, and we know the halacha is shinui is kona. Takes us back to the Gemara in Baba Kama. So shinui is kona, so now you made a change in it, and therefore you're kona.
But it's still yours.
Rashi...
Yours. You haven't given it to the Kohen. Once you give it to the Kohen, it's up until you deliver it to the Kohen, it's yours. So you can do whatever you want to do. So there's no shinui involved.
Well, Rashi doesn't. I'll give away the full Rashi. Rashi says this is analogous to what we learned in the previous parak. Previously, in the previous parak, we learned regarding Zerol Chai Vekeva that the halacha of Chista, it was the second sugya of the previous parak. According to Rav Chista, if you destroy the Matnas Kahuna, so there's no requirement of reimbursement. Now, you shouldn't do it, obviously. In other words, you should be giving it to the Kohen, but you don't have to make good. And it's based on either the Pasuk saying the word Zeh, or it's based on the fact that it's Mamashein Lo Tovim. Whatever the case is, you are not obligated to make reimbursement. Rashi says same thing over here. Now, from the Rashi, it sounds like what you did was wrong, meaning you should have given it to the Kohen. But now that you made a Shinui, so it is like you're being mazik manas kahuna, and therefore you're not required to reimburse. The Rashi is a little bit difficult. It's a little bit challenging. In the previous parak, we were talking about where you actually destroyed it by either making full destruction of it or consuming it. It's not there anymore. Over here, it's still here, just with a shinui. So it's not exactly the same, but Rashi equates the two. Rashi says the two are the same. Now, if all you did, says the Mishnah, is you just whitened it, you cleaned it, so that's not a shinui, and therefore you'd be obligated to give it to the Kohen. Continuing in the Mishnah, Halogech gez tzono shel ovei kochavim. Patur mirishus hagez. Let's say I bought the fleece from a guy. So then there is an exemption. I'm not obligated to mirishus hagez. I didn't buy the animal. All I did was buy the fleece, and so therefore there's no obligation. Halogech gez tzono shel chavero. So let's say you buy it from a friend of yours, from a Jew. So what's the story? Who's going to be obligated in the mitzvah of rishus hagez? Im shir hamocher chayev. Lo shir ha, I'm sorry. Im shir hamocher chayev. Lo shir halokeh chayev. And so the Mishnah says it basically depends on the following. So let's say I go to my friend, right? He has a sheep. He's just shorn it. And now I go over and I buy the shearings. I buy the fleece. So we're both Jews. And we're both obligated in the mitzvah of rishus hagez. So the Mishnah says, if I bought all of it and I left him nothing, I have the obligation to give rishus hagez over to the Kohen. If I bought some of it, I'll even go further. If I bought most of it, but I left some by him, so then he retains the mitzvah. And basically, why? So the seemingly the simple pshat in the Mishnah is because who wouldn't want to do the mitzvah? Meaning, obviously, this mitzvah is costly. It means that you're going to have to part with your money. But still, in other words, we have a mitzvah opportunity over here. So if the mocher did not sell me all the fleece, presumably it's because he wanted to do the mitzvah, and that which he retained for himself, he's planning on giving to the Kohen as part of the mitzvah of rishus hagez. If, on the other hand, he sold me all of it, so clearly he's indicating that he's not interested in doing the mitzvah, and he basically is passing the mitzvah on to me. That would be the simple way to understand the Mishnah, presumably. Ha'ilo shnei minim. Let's say of the sheep that you have on your farm, so some of them are shechufos, they're gray, and some of them are levanos, some of them are white. So machalos shechufos of alo levanos, zecharma of alo nekeva, zenos en latzmo, zenos en latzmo. If there's a clear differentiation between the fleece that I sold versus the fleece that I retained, I only sold the gray, I kept the white. I sold the white, I kept the gray. I only sold that which belonged to the male as opposed to the female. And you know what I mean? Not the non-farmer. So but still the point is that by virtue of the fact that they are two different types of fleece, so therefore the mitzvah is going to be incumbent now on both parties, on the buyer with his fleece and on the seller with his type of fleece. Okay. But Mukdash, my time alone. We start with the Gemara, and the Gemara starts off with a very basic question. How do I know that the mitzvah does not apply to Hekdesh? So Amakra Tzon Chavalot Tzon Hekdesh. So we go back to the Pasuk. The Pasuk in Parsha Shoftim tells us that the mitzvah is only with your sheep. Now the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Time of the Kasav Rechman Tzon Chalav Hachiav Amina Kashim Chayavim Bereshis Agez. So okay, so without the drasha, you're telling me that we literally would have entertained the idea that if I have a carbon, I'm going to be shearing the carbon and handing that fleece over to a Kohen? Like even as a Havamina, without the drasha, who would have thought that? So halav b'nei giza ninu. You don't shear the wool of a carbon. The Torah says regarding the bechor. Dichsiv velosi goes bechor tzonecha. You have a bechor, you don't shear the animal. So like, what are we even talking about? What kind of discussion are we having? I might have thought that the fleece of a carbon is going to be under the mitzvah of reishis hages. You're not shearing it. So ibekashim mizbeach hachinami. So the Gemara says, look, if we're talking about carbonos, so then you're right. Your point is excellent. But hachem my skin bekashim bedekabais. But the animal was sanctified. It was consecrated, not as a carbon, but as bedekabais. It's just simply going to go towards temple funds. The Beis HaMikdash is going to then turn around, sell it to somebody, and gain revenue from the sale. So the Gemara says, "V'amar Rav Elazar Kacher Bedekabayis Asurim Begizav Avoda." Wait 1 second. Who says you're allowed to shear an animal even if it's just Kacher Bedekabayis? You're not allowed to. So the Gemara says, "Midra Rabbanan." So the Gemara says that's true, but that's a din de Rabbanan. Sakadas Chamina Hol Midoraisa Bnei Gizaninu Hecha DeGazus Leilesav Lei. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's only a din de Rabbanan, but Min HaTorah, there is an obligation to shear the sheep and give it to the Kohen. So I might have thought in the Havamina that Min HaTorah, what we should be doing is shearing the animal, even though Min HaRabbanan we're not allowed to, but the mitzvah d'oraisa, Rishis HaGez, is going to override the Isser d'Rabbanan on not shearing. The Gemara says, okay, but still, let's keep entertaining this thought. We're shearing the sheep of Bedek HaBayis, and we're going to give it to a Kohen. Right now, the fleece itself still has Kedusha's Damim. So, V'HaKadosh La. So, Sakad HaChamen and Lifrok V'Lisav Lei. So, the Gemara says, okay, even in our Havamina, and by the way, what we've been doing now for the last 5 minutes and what we're going to continue to do is we're just supporting a Havamina. Meaning, we know the Maskan is we don't. But we're just trying to understand what was the Havamina. So in the Havamina, so what we're going to do is we're going to take the fleece that has Kedusha and we're going to be podet. We're going to redeem it. So the Gemara says, really? Havabai amadavaracha? Now, if it's an animal. Now, I understand the fleece is not an animal, especially after it's shorn off. But as Tosfos over here points out, but it was connected to an animal, so shouldn't it have the requirements of an animal? An animal, in order to be redeemed, it has to be alive and standing on its own. This is what's called the requirement of Hamada Varacha. We discussed in the previous parak as well. So Hanich Lamandamar Kasha Bedekabais Lohaya Bechla Hamada Varacha Lamandamar Hayumai Iklamemar. Now, a carbon that has a mum requires Hamada Varacha. That's clear. Bedekabais that has a blemish and is going to be redeemed. Does that require Hamada Varacha? So it's subject to a debate. But if we subscribe to the viewpoint that it does require Hamada Varacha, so then we don't have it over here. So how can I redeem it? So Amar Rabbi Mani Bar Patish Mishum Rabbi Yana Hacha Ben Makdish Behemto LeBedek HaBayis Chutz Migizo Seha. So the Gemara says that we're talking about being Makdish an animal for Bedek HaBayis to the exclusion of its fleece. Okay, so that's the case that we're describing. Salka Dat Chamina Ligzos Vele Sevele Amar Kra Tzon Chavalot Tzon Shal Hakdish. So the Gemara says, okay, but Ihachi Kashem Izbech Nami. So the Gemara says, well, why can't I give the same ukimta by a carbon where a makdish the animal sands the fleece? So kachshe. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why you know that can't be. Because if I do that, I'm going to weaken the animal. And you're not allowed to do anything that weakens the animal. So the Gemara says, kachshe bedek abayis nami kachshe. Well, aren't we going to be doing the same thing with bedek abayis as well? Aren't we going to be weakening it and thereby diminishing the value of bedek abayis, which you're not allowed to do? Da'amar chutz migiza v'chisheha. So the Gemara says, well, what I could do is I could be makdish, my animal lebedek habayis, to the exclusion of not only the fleece, but its diminished value as well. Now that's interesting that you can actually be, you can exclude diminished value. That's in of itself requires a little bit of brain power to figure that out. So kashim izbech nami da'amar chutz migiza v'kishah. So the Gemara says, well, can't I do the same thing by a carbon? The Gemara says, of course you can't do that by a carbon. Afilo hachi pashta kedusha bekula. You see, by a carbon and the kedusha of a carbon is binary. It's either kadosh or it's not kadosh. There's no such thing as making part of the animal kadosh. And the Gemara just makes that point very clear. Umenat temra, da'amar Rabbi Yossi kula ola. Da'amar Rabbi Yossi va'alom v'mgdeshem amar v'aglashol zeh ula kula ola. Ve'afilu Rameir da'amar en kula ola hanimila da'akdish da'vashayna neshama tuluya bo. Avahikdish da'vashayna neshama tuluya bo kadoshah. Now when it comes to a karbon, now there is a debate regarding if I'm makdish the leg, is the Kedusha going to be poshet through the entire animal? Fine, there's a machlokas tanayim. But if I'm makdish the majority of the animal, a significant part, a neshama teluya ba, that if we were to take this away, the animal would simply die. And if we're being makdish the entire animal, minus the fleece, of course, that is the majority of the animal. And if it's Kedusha saguf, it's poshet. It just simply spreads out. Okay, we'll stop over here. We're going to go to our second answer tomorrow in terms of just entertaining the Havamina.